Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see everyone here today and your smiling faces. Today, as I look out among the brethren here in this hall, I see people of all sizes and shapes. I mean, I see skinny people, I see chunky people, brunettes, redheads, blondes, light-skinned people, dark-skinned people. Now, what do you see in the brethren assembled here today? Well, I'd like to have you turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 16:7. The Bible records that God had sent the man named Samuel to anoint a replacement for King Saul. Now, King Saul had disqualified himself from becoming king, and God would choose another individual to become king over Israel. And under God's directions, Samuel was to go to a man named Jesse and choose one of Jesse's sons to become the next king of Israel. And one by one, seven of his sons came by, and God told Samuel, no, this is not the one. Now, why? Well, let's read 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, and we'll break into the middle. And this is what God says, why they were refused. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. Now Samuel was a little confused now, because God told me to pick one of his sons. So Samuel asked Jesse, well, do you have any more sons? And Jesse said, well, yeah, we do. Our youngest one out there is tending the sheep. And he said, well, go get him. So they went to get this young son of Jesse. And later in verse 13, we'll read this. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him, that was David who came, in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. In Acts 13:22, Luke records what Paul says about David. Paul says that God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who would do all my will. So today, when we look upon our brethren today, do we look at their outward appearance, or do we look at their hearts? Now, God called David a man after his own heart, after God's own heart. Now, that's quite a compliment, isn't it? I believe that all of us would like to be called a man or a woman after God's own heart. But what does that really mean? We read about David's life, and we see his sin of adultery, murder, and other sins, and we ask ourselves, is this truly a man after God's own heart? Today we look at what Today, let's look at, take a look at what God saw in David's heart. In doing so, I believe that we can be given the ability to overcome the difficulties and evils of this age which we face. Now, David will become known in all the land with the battle of Goliath. Now, David was a young person at this time, a young man, you might say. And Goliath was a giant in the Philistine army who taunted the army of Israel. Now, there was no one of courage of the army of Israel to come forward and battle him. And one day, David was sent to the battlefront to visit his brothers, actually to give them some food that his father had sent them. And he became outraged that no one had the courage to do battle against Goliath, and who was defying God and God's people. Now, David says this in 1 Samuel verses 18 through 46 through 47, and now David's talking to Goliath. This day the Lord will deliver me into your hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord shall not save with sword or spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Now the rest is history and legend. Now we see here that David had the courage and the boldness in his heart for God. And that really can be an inspiration for all of us. Now the true root of why David was so full of courage was his love for God. And of course, the Bible defines God's love in 1 John 5:3 as this: for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, David wrote many of the Psalms, and in Psalms 119, in verses 97 through 98, he wrote this: oh, how I love your law, is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. At a young age, David loved God in his heart and relied on God to fight his battles. Are we willing to have God fight the giants in our lives, the Goliath that faces us in our own lives? That is what God is fully seeking in us, that we rely on him for all things. We can overcome the Goliath in our lives called relationships. When we have great difficulties, say, with our spouse, our children, even our parents, our boss. Some of us face a giant battle with health issues. Some of us face a huge battle, a giant battle with finances or addictions. The true heart of God's children looks to God our Father to fight our battles so that we can grow and mature as Christians to overcome these giant battles. God said this: this is the one he looks upon him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. David's heart did so, and our hearts must also do the same. Now, David was human. And like all of us, David was not perfect, far from being perfect. Now God would record in the scriptures here David's adultery with Bathsheba so we can learn from his mistakes. Now let's read a parable of the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel 12. And in doing so, we will see an important aspect of David's heart. So in 2 Samuel 12, we'll read from verses 1 through 7. And this is right after David had Uriah's killed, that was the husband of Bathsheba, and she would have a son by David. Then David sent Nathan to David. And this is an interesting parable. He came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man." At that moment, a dagger was thrust into David's heart. Not a dagger of cold steel, but a dagger of godly truth. There are basically two ways that people respond to something like this. The first way is how the unconverted person responds, who does not know God, and basically says, an expression of our youth to today, whatever. Whatever. Now, the other response is of the converted person who has moved to repentance. Now, in verse 13, it says this, "So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." He's not making any excuses. He's admitting his guilt here. I mean, his sin, too. And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." Now, I can go to the doctor and have an ultrasound, an x-ray, or even a CAT scan to examine if something's wrong with me. Now, only God can see our true attitudes and motives of our hearts and minds. And that's what he did with David here. He saw that. We need to pray to God and ask him to show what our heart is like. By the Spirit of God in us, we can then begin the process to have an understanding what God sees in our hearts and begin to change that is required for us to become more like him. Now, David was a man after God's own heart because he constantly wanted God to examine him and cleanse him of his ways and thoughts. And only through God's Holy Spirit working in us can that be achieved. We read earlier in 1 Samuel 16:13 that God gave David the Spirit of the Lord from that day forward. In the Old Testament, God selected a few to receive his Holy Spirit. Today, through repentance, baptism, and the hand of laying of hands of God's one of God's ministers on us, then can we have a helper. That's God's Holy Spirit. Many of the Psalms that are written by David show us a heart, his heart, a heart of forgiveness, a heart that does not confess our sins, affects our minds, and the guilt that follows. A heart that confesses sin will result in forgiveness and peace from God. A heart that can be encouraged for others who are in other circumstances. And a heart that seeks God in confidence for a place of refuge in a time of trouble. Now let's go to Psalms 32. We'll read this psalm. This is exactly what David talked about. It actually describes some aspects of his heart here. Psalm 32. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality has turned into the drought of summer." And that's what happens when we do not confess our sins. "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave my iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near me. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Yes, David had many sins. His sins affected him, his family, and the nation of Israel. It was his repentive attitude in David's heart that God wants in all of our hearts. Let's be encouraged by the trials in our lives, for that sake is to grow and overcome. David did, and the scriptures talk about a person who was loyal and faithful to God, and that was David. We read that when Christ comes the second time in this world, God will give David the responsibility to be king over the 12 tribes of Israel. That's encouragement for us who do sin and realize that our sins can be forgiven. So let all of us be a man or a woman who's after God's own heart.